podcast time from XFM. A week of shows and the best of them. Lots of chat and not much tunes for boring legal reasons.
Hello there, welcome to podcast number 23 from the XFM Breakfast Show. Normal service has now resumed. We had the Naked Breakfast podcast last time, and I'm proud to say as well this is now an award-winning podcast. Thanks to the first ever Web Comedy Awards via The Poke. Thank you so much if you voted for this. Let's begin.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.
Rich, how are you?
I'm absolutely super. I can't wait to lie in.
Never has your voice sounded so different from the words you're saying. I'm absolutely super.
A little bit of booze and the fags.
Right, okay. Phil, how are you this morning, right?
I'm well.
Good.
I'm well.
Good.
I'm intrigued.
By?
Your mug.
Yeah, Phil didn't know about my hidden talents. I did not know about it. Tell me of my hidden talents and why you're surprised.
Apparently you're extremely good at table tennis.
Well, not just extremely good.
Well, now there is you know, actual tangible proof of how good you are in the form of a mug, which proclaims you the global radio table tennis champion.
Absolutely. And who did I play in the final?
Our boss.
Yeah, who was that?
Richard Park.
I played Richard Park in the final table tennis.
I didn't let him win.
Absolutely. We're going to do... Maybe you can include that in some of your sport bulletins.
Absolutely. I will now.
Would you?
Yeah.
That would be terrific.
We are XFM.
Band of Skulls were amazing last night as well, weren't they? It went to Wonderland. Really
rocked
great.
Hard.
They rocked out, didn't they?
They did. The drummer, actually, the first song, about 15 seconds in, he was rocking so hard he broke a drumstick.
Now, when did you last see that happen?
I can't remember.
Well, come up with something. 1983?
First
time that's happened since 1983.
Genesis, I think it was.
Was it Genesis?
Yeah.
Phil Collins, of course. Yeah,
no, he was I thought you were talking about the Bible then.
Yeah, Dave is very he's very religious. We don't usually... He's not subtle, that's the thing. And he tries to get every conversation round to, you know, God and Jesus. But sometimes he can't and he panics. And so he just thinks, well, I'll start at the beginning. Genesis. That's what it does.
So thinks that God created the earth in 1983.
Yeah, exactly. It's been ages.
XFM.
Kids think Simon Cowell is the Messiah.
Oh, wow.
There's a survey that's been done. One in four British children think that Christmas celebrates Simon Cowell's birthday. And a quarter reckon that God was born in Brentwood in Essex.
Where are these children that they're talking to?
Well, again, there are jokes there that I probably can't do. But it doesn't seem like the brightest bunch.
No.
1 in 10 reckon Beckham, Talisa, Pippa and President Barack Obama are the names of Father Christmas's reindeer.
Oh,
no, they don't. And I'm looking at this survey and it just goes on. I mean, it says 28% of these 1,000 children thought Lapland was a nightclub. A lot of people thought, it says here, many thought one of the reindeers was called Dappy. And it's, you know, many didn't, did they?
No.
Probably one did as a joke.
Yeah.
And you're trying to trick us and it's not fair. Which brings me to my angry nerd rant, you know? Ooh. Hey, people who invent statistical surveys in the hope of them being talked about on the radio. In one sense, well done, we are. But don't try and convince us that children think Dappy is a reindeer by using the phrase many thought Dappy was a reindeer. Do you really think we believe that many children believe Dappy is a reindeer? He is not a reindeer. I know what he is and I can't say it. One child said it as a joke and that is exactly what happened. No one thought the wise men... This is the other thing it says. They thought the wise men heard about the birth of Christ on Facebook. Facebook came out in 2004. Would have been MySpace or Friendster or Teletext. If you're going to peddle stats, make them an accurate reflection of society at large and do not include Dappy. Sontra, have you got an angry nerd rant?
I have, yeah. This is an email-related angry nerd rant.
Yeah.
Microsoft Office Outlook Web Access.
Okay.
Right. I know that I've got 538.59 megabytes of mailbox space used,
yes,
and that at 585.94 megabytes I will not be able to send any more mail, but I've emptied my deleted items folder and I don't understand where they're coming from.
Boom, angry nerd, good work. Richard?
Taxi driver, don't leave the windscreen wipers on full when it's only a light drizzle. You'll be the one crying when your rubber blades perish early.
Dave, are you angry about anything this morning?
I am, actually. Dear well-known online payment service, yes, I know you're exclusively an online service, but this doesn't mean I shouldn't be able to contact you when I need assistance.
Quite right.
Give me a phone number.
Yeah, man, give them a break as well.
XFM.
Dave, it's Danny. Just had the most delicious baguette. Can you find out when Bastille Day is? Because I should probably save that story for then. Try and get a Frenchman on the line. Leave that with you. Bye-bye.
XFM. Do you like the fact that I'm so good at table tennis?
I'm astonished.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm looking at your wrist. So I didn't expect it.
No, absolutely. Lithe wrists, ladylike wrists. That's what they call me, the lady. That's my name. I've got the T-shirt. The lady, they call me. I don't know if Phil's listening. He's popped out of the studio, but...
He might be.
He might be listening, yeah. So if you are listening, Phil, when you come back in, just be a bit shamefaced. I just found this mug this morning. It's got nothing. I don't even know what the Global Radio Table Tennis Championship is. Here he is. Hey, Phil. I'm just talking about how I won the Global Radio Table Tennis Championships this morning.
I know, the lady.
You were listening to that bit? Yeah, how about that? What are the questions you got for me?
I think he then ran into the studio, so...
That's exactly what happened.
Is it?
Yeah.
I see.
I heard the lady and came running in.
Yeah, the lady. And then come in. Well, we'll talk more about my championships.
But I do hope so.
Good, all right, you've got more questions for me. XFL! Phil, will you give me 8 facts about Spain?
1. Mm-hmm. Spain has a population of 48 million, considerably less than Great Britain, although in area it is 5 times the size of Great Britain.
Whoa, it's just coming out. Was that one fact? That was like 3 in 1.
That's 2 facts in 1.
2 facts, okay.
There are 5 official languages in Spain.
Okay.
Castilian Spanish,
right.
Galician, Basque Spanish, Catalan, and some regional dialects as well.
That's 3.
Yes.
We've got some way to go.
Yes. The most successful team in the history of Spanish football is Real Madrid. Although recently, Barcelona have enjoyed more success. Real Madrid have won the Europa Cup 9 times.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
The Champions League 9 times.
Wow. So that's about 6 facts there.
Yes.
I'm not letting this lie.
They eat a lot of pork in Spain. You can have chorizo.
He's run out. Like, you got to 7, Phil. That's not bad. XFM. A glorious moment in the studio before, Rich. You looked confused. You were thrown by a Sunter's news report because it involved BDI frontman Liam Gallagher. And you looked very confused. And you turned to me and went, why did Sunter add that word? And we were going, what word? And Sunter thought she'd done something wrong, but she hadn't. And you said, is it known that Liam... You said... is Liam Gallagher known for being BDI'd?
It was great.
Oh man, you had no idea that he's got a band.
You enjoy yourself at my expense.
You? You look so concerned. Why is he BDI'd?
Why is he calling you BDI? Does it mean?
Oh, it was great. So now we've had to explain about being BDI and everything else like that. I do apologise.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet.
Hello, I'm Greg Davis. I'm just filling in briefly for Danny because I'm afraid he's had to leave the studio. I'm not sure because I'm not medically trained, but I think he's had a prolapse.
XFM. Only one story I want to talk about. That is this story here. And it's all about the Freedom of Information Act. Sounds like I'm going to go on a mad rant. Some conspiracy theorist rant. I'm not. A list has been released of some of the questions that people send in to... town halls, you know, and officials and councils and things like that, which they use the Freedom of Information Act as their thing to get the answers for, right? These are important questions, and as taxpayers it is, you know, important that our elected officials are accountable and are there for us in our times of need when we have questions that we want answered. But I didn't realise that that this costs £31 billion a year.
Wow!
It's a lot of money, yeah? £31 billion. And here are some of the questions. This was sent to Bristol City Council, but also to Leicester City Council. So this isn't just one person. This is a regional thing. This is a concern. What preparations has the council made for a potential zombie attack?
That's a great question.
It's not bad, is it?
Yeah.
And I remember Dundee, in Dundee, they actually, I think there was, the newspaper reported they had the same question, and Dundee is ready. So Dundee is ready for zombies, but Bristol and Leicester, we are unsure as yet. This was sent to West Devon District Council. How does the council plan to help the soldiers of our infantry if and when Napoleon and his marauding hordes invade the district?
What?
Yes. And, you know, so
this is connected to the zombie one. Will
no,
be,
I think...
Will it be zombie Napoleon?
Yeah. Oh, man, there's a film.
Yeah.
Zombie Napoleon.
Write it down.
Zombie Napoleon would work. What plans, this is to Merseyside, what plans are in place to deal with an alien invasion? That's fine, all right, we all want to know that. What preparations has the council made for an emergency landing of Santa's sleigh this Christmas? I think that's just one for children, but still it all costs money. Then it goes a bit odd. Wealden. How does the council manage to cope with the vagaries of Heisenberg's uncertainty principle? How does it function given the inherent unpredictability? Do you know anything about Heisenberg?
The cat. Well, the cat's alive or dead.
Oh, is that really?
Yeah.
So, explain it.
Oh, no, that's Schrodinger.
Oh, okay. We don't know. This was to Hampshire. How many drawing pins are in the building? And what percentage are currently, that's currently, stuck in a pin board? One person at Allerdale wanted the council to provide details of all uniforms worn by civil enforcement officers, including descriptions of embroidered logos and markings, as well as any difference between summer and winter wear. So these are all, you know, terrific questions that these people wanted to know the answer to, but it cost £31 billion. Let's save the country some money, all right? So today's Tell Us Something We Don't Know is going to be slightly different. We want you to tell us something we don't know about something you don't know. What do you want to know? And we will try and find out what you don't know to tell you something you don't know about the thing you don't know about.
We've got a budget of £1 billion, haven't we?
Yeah, exactly. We're going to save £30 billion today. I'm asking for your questions. What do you want to know the answer to? What's the one thing that you woke up this morning and you thought, I want to know, you know, not about drawing pins in a council office. We don't want to know about the summer versus winter wear of civil enforcement officers. What do you want to know? Dave, have you got anything you really want to know this morning?
I've always wanted to know,
yeah,
why doesn't glue stick to the inside of the bottle?
Oh. That is a terrific question. You got one, Rich? Anything you want to know?
How do guide dogs know where to go?
Okay, all right.
If you think about it, like, if the guy or lady says, actually, no, I'm going to go to grab a coffee, Pooch, let's go to Starbucks.
Yeah.
How's the dog? No.
Catnav.
Oh.
He sends a cat. He sends a cat right in front of him, and that happens. That's that one answered. Got anything, Sons? Anything you want to know?
The only thing that has been troubling me this morning is I seem to be unable to find a post box in the borough of Haringey. So I'd like to know how many there are and where they're located.
How many post boxes? You're like one of these nutters that sends these questions in. That's a proper one. I'm surprised that's not in the newspaper this morning. Phil, anything you want to know?
I would like to know, if it was properly on a leash, are you allowed to take a goat on the tube?
Why is this what you want to know? And why have you thought it through to the extent that you already think they might say that you need a leash?
Well, if a goat is on a leash...
Yes.
Oh, if a goat is on a leash, a dog is allowed.
Yes.
Presumably a cat would be allowed.
Right, on a leash.
Where do you draw the line?
Why goat-based? Why have you gone for a goat?
Well, it could be, you know...
What, have you got a goat?
I don't know.
Are you planning to get a goat?
No.
Why are you obsessed with goats?
I like them.
Also, what does it properly on a leash mean?
Yeah,
as if there's like a halfway point.
Well, yeah, you can, you know, go down the escalator on a leash and then take it off when you get on the tube, so...
Have you really thought this through?
I would like to know if you're allowed to take a goat on the tube.
Okay, if properly constrained, are goats readily allowed access to London's underground network? We are... Dave... Just describe Phil to your immediate left.
Well, he's wearing a a tiger onesie, of course.
Yep. You're wearing a tiger onesie. It's just a one-piece tiger bodysuit.
Yep.
You've got the hood down, the headphones over the hood, the little tiger ears.
Uh-huh.
You are dressed as a tiger, obviously, because it's quiz face.
Obviously.
And you are playing this morning the role of...
El tigre de la muerte.
The tiger of death. So, we have Laura, confirmed listener Laura, on the line. Laura, are you there?
Yep.
Hi, Laura. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Really good.
Excellent. Phil is, obviously, your opponent today. He is dressed as the Tiger of Death.
Right.
So, are you familiar with Chris Face, first of all?
Kind of.
Okay, well, you should know the rules by now, which is why Phil is wearing the Tiger of Death outfit. We'll get that picture on Facebook, shall we, as well? Sometimes she's taking a picture. So, Laura, if you're ready, let's get quizzical.
Quizmas.
Okay, Laura.
This
week's Quiz Face is Quizmas. Mass, of course, being the Spanish for more. More is generally defined as a greater or additional amount or degree. It's a comparative of much, forming the comparative of adjectives and adverbs, especially those of more than one syllable. That's the fun out of the way, Laura. It's time, time for the quiz. Like I say, you should know the rules by now. Laura, this is the second Spanish format that I bought at the Minsk Television Festival a month or two ago. I have had trouble shifting it, so let's just try and get our money's worth here. As usual, it's your job to decide nunca or siempre. That's nunca or siempre. Have I been quite clear, Laura?
kind of.
Then let's begin.
El año es 1879. Es el segundo día de tu tercer camino por las montañas y la selva de Brasil. Tienes tu comida, tu dignidad y un solo peso de oro. De repente... ¡Oh, no! Es un velociraptor. ¿Qué vas a hacer? ¿Puedes correr o puedes esconder? ¿Qué vas a hacer?
Okay, Laura, that's your first decision right there. Nunca o siempre. Nunca o siempre.
Minka?
Okay, Laura, you said nunca. Let's spin the bowl. Ooh. Okay, good.
El año es 1984. Es el último partido de la Eurocopa.
Oh, watch out. Good.
Es la tercera vez que Liverpool está en el final. Han ganado la competición en 1977, 1978 y 1981. Es la primera vez que Roma están en el final. De repente...
Oh! Look! Laura, look!
El Papa. El Papa está ahí en el cielo. Mira el Papa, qué lindo es. Pero...
Oh, no!
El Papa está tirando láser a los jugadores con sus ojos. ¿Qué vas a hacer? ¿Vas a correr o vas a esconder? ¿Qué vas a hacer cuando ves al Laser Pope?
Nunca o siempre with the Laser Pope, Laura. Which will it be? Nunca o siempre?
Siempre.
You're saying siempre. Siempre. Okay, let's see what that does to the power bar. Hang on. There we go. Laura, you can stop the power bar at any time just by saying stop.
Nope.
6 points, well done. That means you qualify, Laura, now for a power boom.
Power boom.
Ahora power boom. Acuérdate que puedes jugar tu Joker cuando quieras, solo menos durante el power boom.
Okay, let's do it.
¿Quieres jugar tu power boom?
Answer the question, please, Laura. Do you wish to play your power boom?
Sí.
Okay, let's do it.
Power boom.
Hey, well done. That was power boom. Wow. Unusual technique, which brings us to our final question, Laura. You have played a faultless game so far. It's been a real honour to play against you and to see someone who grasps it. But for the tickets to Benicassim, the first tickets available, can you complete this well-known Spanish phrase?
Nosotros somos.
No.
I'll give you a clue. In English, that would be we are
XFM.
Muy bien. Hola. Laura, well played. That was astounding. That was astounding. Phil, do you want me to pop that onesie off? You're no longer, just to get out of character now, you're no longer the Tiger of Death. Laura, how do you feel?
Great. It was actually my birthday yesterday, so this is pretty cool.
Oh, great. Well, let's get a little bit late. There was just you and one Spanish listener really enjoying Quiz Face today.
We are...
can confirm it's now snowing outside in Leicester Square. That's what's happening. I know that because Dave immediately launched into his own Peter Kay style, his own Peter Kay style stand-up routine as he leaned against the window. How did you describe the snow?
It's that depressing snow because it's wet on the ground.
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to be funny. I was just being observational. It's not quite as fun.
It's that thin rain that soaks you through.
Yeah, I know. But,
but Dave's darker. It's that depressing snow.
It's not as much fun when it just drops to a sodden ground.
Well, look. He was so proud of himself there when he said that. Dave, you had a strange dream. I just remembered. I think I was distracted by your Peter Kay stylings.
Yeah.
But you had a weird dream last night as well.
Well, I did, yeah. I dreamt that I met Brad Pitt. And this just came back to me about 3 minutes ago because he was on the screen in the corner of the studio. Yeah. And I strolled up to him. And
you strolled up to Pitt?
I strolled up to him, yeah.
Bold as brass.
I ambled up to him.
No shame.
No. And he didn't believe that I hadn't seen his new film, Moneyball.
So straight away, you strolled up and he was like, Dave, I can't believe.
I was like, oh, it's Brad Pitt. Lovely, yeah. Lovely to meet you, Brad.
Yeah.
I loved your new film.
He's like,
you
were really cool then.
Yeah. Dead cool.
Oh, so you claim to have seen Moneyball?
Yeah, I have seen Moneyball.
You have seen Moneyball.
And then he was like, well, okay.
Yeah.
So, did you enjoy it? I was like, yeah, I really enjoyed it. So what happens in it? And he actually quizzed me and asked me loads of questions in the dream. So, Pitt's got an attitude problem.
Yeah.
I like how you just clarified that he quizzed you in your dream, just in case everyone got confused. Yeah. This actually happened in real life.
Yeah, let me just clear that up. This is very much whilst I was asleep.
We are. XFL. Dave, it's Danny. I'm on the underground. Listen to this. Whoa! The majesty of the tube train. You can use this for a jingle or something. Right, I'm going to get on now. Leave that with you, okay? Bye-bye. Angry Nerds. Lots of Angry Nerds. In fact, I've got one right now, which is that, you know, I highlight various texts that I would like to read out. I give Santa some texts that she would like to read out. And my computer has just crashed.
Oh, no.
Angry nerd. That's all right, though. Is yours still going?
Mine's going.
You start while I log back in.
Okay.
And get me IT on the phone right now. What is my password for this? Oh, that's right. Hang on. Bear with me, everyone. This is live.
Shall I carry on?
This is live Angry Nerds.
Right.
I'm back.
Dave in Stoke says, dear work computer password, if I wanted to change you 14 days through the 21-day cycle, I would. I don't want to be asked every time I log on.
Absolutely, and I agree with you. Cy in Rickmansworth says, it's too much signage. How many options are there? How many options are there to opening a door anyway? I don't need to be told to push or pull. How much time exactly would I be wasting anyway with that decision? None. If it's pull, stick a handle on it.
Yes.
Joe from Dartford.
I'm a door nerd.
Joe from Dartford says, sandwich toasters. Yeah. It took 10 minutes to toast a normal sandwich at the train station yesterday, making us miss two trains, and then it wasn't even hot.
Oh, is that Joe from Dartford? That sounds like. John in Essex, my angry nerd's rant is, I can't stand my Facebook news feed being taken up by people playing games.
Yes.
Stop playing games. Anything that ends in ville.
Yeah.
That's someone texted it in the other day. Anything that ends in ville should not be on Facebook. So any others then?
Alex in Romford. Angry nerd rant.
I don't know.
Angry nerd rants. People who put LED lights on the front of their car. It doesn't look good. It looks pants.
It does, and there are people now blushing in cars.
Steve says, party poker and instant live chat is not what I clicked on. Internet, stop it.
Absolutely. Confirm Mr. Gareth is live on the line, I believe. Gareth, are you there?
Hello, Danny.
Hello, Gareth. Tell us about your angry nerd rant.
Well, my angry nerd rant is to Microsoft Office. When you open a presentation that you've been working on for the last 8 hours, and then you close it and it says, do you want to save changes? But there's no bloody save changes to make.
Yeah, you are angry. We will forgive that slight swear word. I know. So how does it make you feel as a man?
It made me feel slightly violated. And unnecessarily worried.
Yeah, absolutely. Unnecessarily worried. Nice way to sum it up. Thank you very much indeed, Gareth. And Stu, what is your angry nerd rant?
Oi, also correct. Stop assuming that your spelling prowess is greater than mine. Yes. It isn't. And frankly, you're starting to look a bit silly now.
Yes, absolutely. We agree. All these things, along with the picture that we did of that listener earlier, we're going to send that to the mayor. We are. So the greatest thing in the world just happened. Sunter looked very confused. And obviously, you know, being team players, we were full of concern for her. And we said, what's happened here? And you're sitting in front of your computer and various clips are sent to you and you can download for your news reports.
Yes.
And it'll be, you know, men giving statements about bank rates.
Politicians, your man on the street.
Yeah.
Those kind of things. Yeah.
But inexplicably, a new clip has arrived.
Yeah, it's flashed up. Red means it's important.
So this is an important clip.
It's just called Baby Laughing.
Right. Well, we don't know what this is for, what the news story is,
and
why it's there.
Nope.
But, you know, we should play the clip because it's red. No reason for it. Absolutely no reason for it. But thank you to the news team for sending that to us. Hopefully we will find out what the story is soon. We are XFM.
We are XFM.
So big questions that you want answers to, essentially. So far this morning, Phil wants to know, I think he's probably gone out to try and find the answer. He wants to know whether you would be allowed to take a fully leashed goat on the London Underground network. He was not specific enough to mention whether he meant overground as well. At the moment, we're concentrating largely on underground. People have been in touch already about your question, Dave. About what was your question?
Why doesn't glue stick to the inside of the bottle?
Well, Al the cabbie says, is Dave a thicko?
Yes.
He says, obviously, until the air reacts, the glue sticks to nothing! Exclamation mark. And there were two question marks after thicko to really ram that that point home. Aaron says the same thing, so does Anonymous and a couple of other people. We do have more questions as well that have come in. We're going to try and find the answers in the next little bit. Here's a question, for example. Wendy in Orpington says, how does toothpaste come out of the tube in perfect stripes, even after you've squished the tube to try and mix the colours? My question, Wendy, is why are you squishing the tube to try and mix the colours? Very odd. I just want one generic look to my... I don't like this jazzy toothpaste, this disco toothpaste. So that's you know, that's one there. Dave, Belvedere, he says, are there more traffic cones than people in the United Kingdom? And is there some sort of contingency plan for if they all try and block our path at the same time? Wow, that's kind of... I mean, that's a paranoid sort of thing to say, isn't it? If you suspect traffic cones are secretly ganging up on people and have a plan. Fran wants to know, I want to know who Work Experience Steve is, the coffee boy you abuse in the advert. Merry Christmas. We'll get him on in a bit. Marcus, what is your question this morning?
Tell me something I don't know about who would win a fight between a hedgehog and a bumblebee.
A hedgehog and a bumblebee, obviously... natural nemesis. One's got a sting in his tail, the other one's got... he can just do that, can't he?
With
many
all those spikes.
Many spikes. So who would win and what are they fighting about? Mm. And how did this kick off?
And is it a fight to the death or just a bit of a rough and tumble?
Yeah, and what can we do to stop this happening again? You know, we need someone to get involved at the start and be kind of... Go on, Rich.
I've got a bee. I'll bring it in.
You've got a bee?
Yeah.
How long have you had this bee?
Four years now.
Are you fully leashed? Are you allowed to take the bee on the underground? Is that...
Yeah, take it on the underground.
Okay, good. Why do buses make strange noises when they pass each other? As if they're talking to each other in some special secret bus language that only buses know. It's a good question. We'll try and find that out. What are the tiny little holes in the top of a digestive biscuit for? Good.
Yeah,
you think about it. I mean, why are they there? Surely it should just be a flat thing, you know? They're trying to jazz it up. It's like the toothpaste.
No, the chocolate digestives are upside down.
Chocolate digestives are upside down?
Yeah.
I suppose they are in many ways. Yeah. This is a lot. This is a lot. This is a lot. And the classic one, Rudolph just wants to know, why does your sports reporter always say m'ladies before doing his report? I think it's the last time you'll be asked that this year. Hopefully we will retire that. Why don't you just say your name, enunciate it.
Phil Kitromilidis.
Yes, exactly. Also implying now that Rudolph may be racist. I love the way you did that. Just kind of going, and here is how you pronounce it. Rudolph, you're not, of course. Steve's got one.
Tell me something I don't know about how everyone still walks around like they're not completely baffled at how popcorn works.
I love that. Not how does popcorn work. Or why aren't we more impressed with the majesty of how popcorn works?
We are
XFM.
There's a story in the newspapers this morning about the crankies. It's very important that you do everything in your power to avoid this story. Make whatever you see, if you see the word crankies, if you see the picture of them, just put the newspaper down and walk away.
Public service you're doing there.
Yeah. If you've just bought the paper and you're thinking, oh, there's a cranky story, I love the crankies, pop it down and walk away. Just lose the money, take the hits. It's not worth it. The imagery alone will remain with you for the rest of your life. Just walk away. But the Sun does ask the best question I've seen in the Sun in a while. It's at the bottom. And again, I'm not going into the story, but you might pick up a hint of what it might be here. It says, contact our news desk. And the question above it is, have you had hanky-panky with a cranky? Wow.
XFM. Hi, I'm Blake Harrison from The Inbetweeners. You've chosen to listen to Danny Wallace on XFM. He appreciates your choice and hopes you have a truly terrific day as a result of the show.
XFM.
Let's do your flat fee £5 fines. Christmas themed, which has got Santa excited.
Yeah.
Loves Christmas. Tell you who doesn't love Christmas, Santa. Joe from Dartford. Could have predicted that. £5 flat fee fine for my wife. Stop watching cheeseball Christmas films. I'm not sure if that's £5. Oh, look at Santa. Face like thunder. You're obviously a big fan of Christmas 24, the non-stop Christmas film fest. What was the last one you watched on, just in case Joe's wife is listening?
I watched the Muppets one, actually.
Okay.
Very Muppet Christmas.
Yeah.
Which was all right.
Yeah. Great review.
Christmassy.
Don't know why you're not doing a film show.
For that reason. Gemma says, Danny, all those who wear a Santa hat as part of daily dress on the run-up to Christmas, £5 for fat fee fine piece.
Yeah, okay. I just realised this must hurt. This must hurt you doing this.
It's okay.
It's like when a wicked witch starts talking, starts burning, saying these things that she doesn't
Charming.
Agree with. Flat fee, £5 fine for the middle-aged lady who insisted on repeatedly exposing parts of herself at the Christmas party on Friday.
Oh.
And that's £5 first of all. And another fiver for the terrible covers band that wahaid every time she did so.
Oh.
It's like they save up their dignity all year to throw it away on the one night of the year they're allowed to drink at work. Excellent point. What else?
Phoebe in Beckenham says, people who start singing Christmas carols in November, there's still over a month till Christmas. £5, please.
£5, absolutely. To the man I've just seen walking down the road with, yes, that's right, Ugg boots on. Yes, it's chilly and yes, it's Christmas, but you're not Peter Andre. Take them off. Christmas £5 flat fee fine, please. From Dean in Essex.
£5 flat fee fine for elderly folk who at Christmas insist on telling you their exact age.
Oh.
If I wanted to know how old you were, I'd ask. £5, please.
You're a big meanie, but all right. Confirm Mr. Gareth in Hoddesdon, your £5 fine.
Carol singers who sing the first few lines and then expect a pound towards their cider. No, no. Buy me a festive pounds, please.
All right, good. That's it. Not necessarily Christmas-based, but Malky wants to say, when Twitter was introduced, they said it would replace texting. I've yet to text 1,000 people telling them I'm trimming my nasal hair. Tweeting has not replaced texting, it's replaced muttering to yourself. £5 fine.
Declan on the A12 says, people that finish their advent calendars before Christmas then post it all over Facebook like they're proud of the fact they can't control themselves. £5, please.
Okay, fair enough. And confirm listener Billericky Pete, your £5 fine.
Anyone who buys the X Factor single to propel it towards the number one. £5, please.
Just a little song at the end there. Very nice. And a happy Christmas from Billericky Pete. There's plenty more here it's kind of against the Christmas spirit, I've just realised. I thought it was a way of celebrating Christmas, but actually it's kind of ruining Christmas for Santa more than anything. Have you watched Christmas 24 lately, Dave?
No, I haven't actually.
You've given up, yeah?
No, I've not given up. I just had bigger and better Christmas films to watch this weekend. Like last night I watched It's a Wonderful Life, which Christmas 24 hasn't shown yet.
Yeah, to be fair.
Which has really annoyed
now
me.
Now we're on the home straight.
Yeah.
I can
home straight.
Now I'm ready to get out The Scrooged and It's a Wonderful Life and The Old Christmas Carol and Miracle and all the classics now come out. Because now I want to watch those ones. Yeah. Christmas 24 was just a bumper.
Okay.
So it's not.
You're talking quite a lot about Christmas there. And it just became noise for me. It was a lot of quite specific detail
tinsel,
about.
Tinsel.
X. FM.
I'm Phil Kitramalides. Very surprising and disappointing.
XFM.
A couple more questions came in. Why is sandwich meat round when bread is square?
Yeah.
With all the disabled access being added to buildings these days, have we any contingency plans for if the Daleks do invade? It's Ian and Maidenhead. Yep. Terrific question. Terrific question. Couple of answers for you guys. Someone wanted to know why digestives have those little holes in them. And it turns out it's to prevent the biscuit from rising when cooking.
Oh. Of course.
Are there more traffic cones than people in the UK? What do you think? Huh? What's your guess, Dave?
My guess is no.
Yeah, quite right, because there are around 62.5 million people in Britain, and that would be a lot of traffic cones, wouldn't it?
Yeah, where'd they all go at night?
Well, they stack, of course.
Of course they do.
There are more people in Britain than traffic cones. There are 1.3 million traffic cones in the UK, about 140 million worldwide. We talked about goats, Phil. Would a goat be allowed on the London Underground network if properly restrained?
Yes.
Let's say you and your goat.
Yeah.
You know, you had to get to a party across town quickly. Yeah. And you're thinking, I don't know whether this is legal or not. Would you have gone for it?
I would have given it a go.
Or would you?
Would have given it a
go. Do you think it's more likely it would be allowed on the Overground network or on buses?
Hmm. Yeah. On the Overground, I would suggest that there's more place for a goat.
Right. Well, no, goats are not allowed on the Underground. Dogs are allowed in the Underground, as you said.
Yes.
But dogs must be, at all times, carried. That's on escalators.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Is that any use to you?
So I can't take a goat on the Underground?
You cannot, even if properly restrained. Toothpaste stripes are kept uniform within the tube by the tube design itself. The nozzle reaches down further, which separates out the colours and dispenses them correctly. And the big question this morning, of course, would a hedgehog beat a bee in a fight or vice versa? Well, as an insectivore, the hedgehog has experience of getting the better of and eating bees and wasps. Wow. It simply ignores the stings. So there you go. We've told you something you don't know about the things you want to know about. We'll try and look into this Dalek/disabled access quandary that you've set for us. And Rich, you brought presents in.
Yes.
Yeah. It feels like an appropriate time to open these. Thank you very much. Let's put one for everyone. Let's see what you've got for me. Oh, got me a Rip Zip bubble launcher, which launches my bubbles high into the sky. So it's very much a propeller for my bubbles.
It's to make you look like the coolest dad in the world.
Thank you very much. One thing I've always, if anyone was going to criticise my bubble technique, it is that they remain about head height. But now I've got a fan system, a battery-operated fan system, which includes bubble fuel.
Yep.
Bubble fuel. Or soap, as we call it. Which will launch my bubbles into the sky. Thank you very much indeed, Rich.
Can I just say, I don't know what Rich has got me yet, but I want to swap with you, Danny.
No, it's not mine. I've got a Rip Zip bubble launcher. What have you got, Sons?
I've got the best thing ever. It's a puzzle ball.
A puzzle ball?
With a picture of a cat on it.
Oh, you
it's
win.
It's like the like everything you know that I like.
If it had
tinsel around it, it would be utterly the best thing ever.
Phil, what did Rich get you?
I'm pretty sure I win, actually. Yeah. Heart cake pan.
So
I can bake heart-shaped muffins.
That's terrific.
Put
that's
your ice-cold Christmas-hating heart in and warm it up.
Yeah, that's lovely. And Dave, what did you get?
I've got in the bath dippy divers, whizzing, whirling water fun. And it's a couple of little penguins.
You love penguins?
I love penguins. They crack me up.
I've got one of them, and it remains the only toy my child is absolutely terrified of. Yeah, absolutely terrified. You will see, it goes incredibly fast. It's a penguin that goes incredibly fast around the bath. It frightens even me. And it taps the side of the bath like a woodpecker, which creates an almost horror feel to the thing.
I've
so well done, keeping the Christmas spirit alive. And Steve, what did you get? Get close to the mic.
I've got a yo-yo.
Oh.
No, it's a
bit of an anticlimax there, I will be honest.
He's always in and out, you see?
Oh.
It's a metaphor for
he's
me.
Really thought of it all.
XFM.
We are going to get the good news in the studio. Already, it feels like a good day. That's like a great day already. I mean, it's Christmas Eve Eve. I imagine Santa will remind us of that fact. with her good news and indeed her every waking breath.
Back on the 1st of December.
Yeah.
I embarked on a challenge and a journey of self-discipline and discovery.
Wow.
A 1,000-piece festive jigsaw puzzle. Oh, there were highs and lows, moments of joy and despair. Yesterday afternoon, as we hit the home straight with the finishing line in sight, a terrible realisation hit. We were missing a piece.
No.
Genuinely. Oh. Thankfully, after a quick search around the living room, it was found under the rug. And around 8:23 last night, we finished the 1,000-piece festive jigsaw puzzle. Here is photographic evidence.
There it is, everybody. Wow, that's terrific news. Well done. You did it.
Yay.
You did it, Santa. You actually did it.
I actually did it.
No one thought you could do it.
I know.
They were wrong.
I proved them all wrong.
It's a rollercoaster ride of emotion, but one that has paid off. Richard, your good news, please.
Good news, guys. Yeah. I finally think I understand the rules of quiz phase. The dench or third denching can get you four frost struts, four frost strapping. Yeah. Glyndebourne is out, always, and Jerbirds can't or clant an abstract nomina for four points if and only if.
Yeah, well, no, those are the rules to quiz if.
Oh, yeah.
But not... Yeah. It's different. That's a subset of quiz face. Dave, your good news, sir.
Good news, guys. Yeah. I finally started my Christmas shopping yesterday, and in the words of Coldplay's Chris Martin, I took my feet to Oxford Street. And although £3 down, I feel I bought some splendid presents, including, for the very first time, a present for my girlfriend, which she didn't pick herself.
Whoa!
Wow.
Terrific. You're really growing as a man.
I'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah, it's going to go badly.
Yeah.
Phil, your good news.
Good news.
Oh.
Good news, guys.
Yes.
All remnants of doubts have now been removed. I now definitively know that I can't take my newly acquired pet goat, Antoine, on the tube. So now he will come in the car with me.
Hey, that's good news, everybody, and my good news. Good news, guys. This morning, upon making my morning coffee, I walked to the mug cupboard as usual. It's where we keep producer Dave. That's a little joke. Inside the mug cupboard are mugs. Thank you. And I took one, only noticing it said Global Radio Table Tennis Champion 2011 when Phil mouthed the words, "Are you Global Radio's Table Tennis Champion 2011? To which I mouth, "Yes." So began a sustained campaign of questions and answers during which I utterly convinced Phil that I had thrashed Global Radio's Group Executive Director and Director of Broadcasting, Richard Park, in a tense 4-1 lunchtime session. I don't even know if 4-1 makes sense. But I also managed to convince Phil they call me the lady. And that Parky was furious. Oh. Phil told me with horror and sincerity in his eyes that I should have let Parky win, marking Phil out as a weak, lickspittle, corporate lapdog. Merry Christmas. Your reaction, Phil, to that?
I can't believe it.
It's just a mug. It's just a mug I found. I didn't even know it said that until you pointed at it and looked impressed.
Oh, now I'm the mug.
XFM.
It's the XFM Breakfast Show, by the way. I really should say that more, shouldn't I? Or do people know by now?
I think they know, yeah.
They know, don't they? Yeah. It's breakfast time, it's XFM, these things happen. But will they know this, Dave? That Richard Glover is slowly becoming the king... and master of the noble art of the pun. I don't think they will. So you've written a pun. Mm. Confident in it?
I'm going to knock your socks off.
Are you?
Yeah.
Rich Glover, show me the punny. Rich Glover, show me the punny. So remember to build the story up a bit.
Preface it a bit.
Yeah,
Well, you know there's this story in many of the papers about the crankies.
Oh, man.
And, you know, getting up to no good.
Yeah.
Well, there was a pun in The Sun.
Hang on, this is going to be a pun that you've written.
No, but I'm going to show what amateurs they are compared to me.
Okay.
And The Sun was hanky, cranky, panky.
Yeah.
The mirror was cranky, hanky, panky.
That wasn't a pun. That wasn't a pun so much as a rhyme.
Mm. Okay. Well,
it's both in one. It's rhyme. A pime.
Okay. It's a pime, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
This is going to go badly then. Good, because here's mine.
Okay. But okay. You do understand what a pun is, yeah?
Well, you tell me.
No, you tell me.
You tell me.
Go on, then.
In a minute. Okay, here we go. Frankly, cranky, spanky, hanky, panky is rankly manky.
Not a pun. Not a pun.
Isn't it?
Rich Glover, show me the punny.
That's
just something that rhymes.
That's
it's not. It's a poem.
Poem.
Yeah, it's more like a poem.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
XFM. shall we look back at what we have learned today?
Sounds like a yes.
Kind of a look back at the year, I suppose, as well, isn't it? Look back at kind of, you know, what's happened here on the XFM Breakfast Show. Sunta!
Well, having only been part of the show for the last month, while Matt the Bear Dyson has been on paternity leave, I have learnt I have more Christmas spirit than anyone in the studio can handle. Sports broadcaster Phil Kitro, my ladies, has an olive pip instead of a heart. Being the only girl in an all-male studio means I cannot expect anyone to comment on new clothes or haircut that I may be sporting. Yeah. And broadcast associate Steve still doesn't understand the basic concept of toast. Cornbread is not toast. It needs to be cooked for long.
Well, on that note, let's give him a voice. For the first time on the show properly, it's Programme Associate Steve.
Well, I joined the XFM...
Shut up, Steve! No, go on. No, go on.
Well, I joined the XFM Breakfast Show this year, and I've learnt an endless amount, namely that I should never put my thumb anywhere near toast, and that it does matter which way coffee is stirred.
Absolutely. You've also learnt how to conceal bruises. Rich, go on.
Well, just very briefly, I would like to say, thanks to Sunta, the squarest rock chick on earth, I have learnt to love Christmas.
That's great. So it's a good news. And Dave, yours?
Yes, cows, fences and nipples have taken up a whopping 55% of the overall output of the show since we launched back in August. To go into slightly more detail, cows were lost, fences were voted on and nipples were naturally frozen off.
Absolutely. On that note, thank you to the listeners for tolerating Baby Dave and the day he froze a child's nipple off. For tolerating Matt Dyson's Nottinghamshire obsession. For taking the amazing Paul to your bosom. It's amazing. For following the big stories with us. The Virgin Rail brownie shortage of 2011. Me being the face of Jesus Ween. We thank you, Nobby, Louie, Bobby, Mal, Sue, Joe from Dartford, Fran, Jay from Blackheath, the prettiest girl in the office, the Brotherhood of Paul, Neil and the somersaulting Lloyd, and you, of course. We talked to a farmer this year whose giant vegetables impressed Snoop Dogg. We talked to the owner-operator of the Uzbekistan International Peace Museum and my role in world peace. We are XFL! So there you go. That was podcast number 23 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. Richard, would you like to say goodbye to everybody?
Goodbye to everybody.
Back next week. Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace.